I believe. But I'm just going to stick with it. Yes, amen. I think I'm afraid. Well, first I'm afraid what the Lord would do. But then I'm afraid some of the men that have invested in me would come back and haunt me. I don't know if you believe in all that or not, but I feel like if Noah Fry showed up at the end of my bed and said, "Son, what are you doing?" But I'm thankful. You know, I'm afraid we make things way too complicated.
That's right.
We really do. And if I said it earlier, if we just live by the parts of the Bible we know, that'd probably satisfy us to the end of our days. But we're always looking for loopholes, aren't we?
Yes, sir.
I mean, you look and it's like, well, I know the Bible says this, but let's let some educated people tell us in the context of things, or here is something maybe you didn't see. And I'd say this: I understand that, Brother Russell, there are things that I don't know, and there are things that I was taught wrong. And I think the things I was taught wrong were out of a good place. But I want to be balanced with the Word of God, don't you? If I would just do what God tells me to do in His Word, and I don't have to add to it or take away from it, then my life would be much better. And so James chapter 2 is where we're at tonight. And I want to begin verse number 1. This again, when you read this, I promise you this, when you read this, what will happen is in your mind, you'll say, "I'd never do that." Right? When you read it, you'll say, "I'd never do that." On the basis, but understand what James is saying. He's given us an example or an illustration of this. So the Bible said, "My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons." Notice what he said in verse 2, "For if there come unto you your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, Sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, Stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts?" Now you stop there and we'd say, you know what, I'd never do that. I mean, if somebody walked in here had a $10,000 suit, or if they had rags on, I would never treat them any different. Well, here's the problem. It's a principle.
Yes, sir.
Now, we have to look. God in this scripture says that we're not to respect of persons.
Amen.
Then this, go on, it talks about this illustration of giving an example of that very thing. He said, "Ye have respect to him." In other words, you're showing partiality to one and not to the other. And in verse number 5, he said, "Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor.
Right.
Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats?" And he said, verse 7, "Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called?"
Right.
So here's what he's saying. He's saying, listen, you church, he's talking to the church. He said, now, if someone walked in the congregation and he had on beautiful clothes and drove up in a nice car, and the wife was dressed to the T's, and then here's another guy walks in, and you know they're poor and they smell and they don't have the nicest clothes, and they're not church folks. How many of you would treat them different? And again, we'd say tonight, we'd say, well, I'd never do that, but I promise you this: you let somebody walk in. And what he's talking about is we shouldn't show partiality in any means toward anybody. In other words, here's someone, let's be honest, they come in, they got kids, and the kids are acting about half wild, and you say, I'd never let my kids act that way. And you have ought against them because of their children, or because of the fact that maybe they're not good independent Baptists, don't know how to act in church. Or it's what it's talking about is that we're not to show partiality towards anybody for any reason.
Amen.
Amen. That's good preaching. Now I wanna add something to this. I was reading today in 1 Peter chapter 3, I'll be doing a series on that before too long. In verse number 8, the Bible said, finally, be ye all of one mind. having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Now those are partner scriptures. In other words, we look at James, and James and Peter are saying the same thing. They're saying, look, in the house of God, especially, we're to love each other. We're not to show partiality to people outside the church, but we're also not to show partiality to brothers and sisters in Christ. Say amen right there. So partiality means the inclination to favor one over another.
Amen.
Getting quieter.
That's good.
Well, preacher, you saying I shouldn't dislike anybody? That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm not saying it. He said it. Are you saying that I shouldn't have best friends? We tell our kids you don't need best friends, right?
Come on, that's good.
Now we teach our kids, Brother John, that you ought to treat everybody the same, and it ought to be, you know, the youth group ought to be lovey-dovey, and you shouldn't have cliques in the youth group. Here's what I'll say. How many cliques you got in the house of God? We're going to have to slip out the back door, Brother Jimmy, on this one. See, this may be associated with race. Now, we'd say automatically, Brother John, we'd say, well, no, you shouldn't discriminate because someone has a different color. Social status, well, you shouldn't discriminate against somebody because they don't have political party. Hey, listen, what if a Democrat came in here, liberal, that didn't agree with you? Well, I don't want anything to do with them. Or many other reasons we would prefer one over another.
Come on, you're right. That's good.
We can do that with preachers. Well, I don't like the way he preaches. I want somebody to get up there and ha, 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 right? I don't like a screaming preacher, right? I like someone who just teaches the Word of God. Or you show impartiality, right? I don't like to come to Sunday school because the kids don't like it because they don't feel their teacher is they're kind of boring, or they don't like the kids in their class, or my kids don't like to go to youth functions because the kids are not in the same social status they are at school. And all that's partiality, and we'll look at the kids and say they shouldn't do it. But then when it comes to the adults, we'll be like, well, it's okay if I don't like this person. No, it's not. Especially, Brother Sean, in the house of God. We're supposed to be saved, one mind, one accord. That's what the Bible says, right? So the Bible tells us in Acts 10:34 that God is not a respecter of persons. He does not elevate one person over another. And then in Romans 10:12, there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. And so the Lord shows no partiality, and the ground is truly level at the foot of the cross. And since God is not partial, we shouldn't be partial either. I mean, if we love the Lord like we say we do, right? If we're the Christians we say we are. So when we show partiality, not only do we sin against our fellow man, we sin against the Lord.
Yes,
well, how can you say that, preacher? How am I sin against God? Because he told you not to do it.
Right.
Amen. So notice in this scripture a couple things we'll deal with. I think I only got 2 points tonight. Shouldn't take long. Might take long. I don't know. Number one. In verses 1-3, James shows us the problem solved. In verse 1, he said, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto you or your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there comes in also a poor man in vile raiment. Notice what he said. And you have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here. In other words, saying, all right, you know, here's brother so-and-so. We've heard about him, and he's well-known in the community. And brother, we've got a seat reserved for you just right here. Then somebody else comes in and says, we don't know them. We've heard some pretty bad things about them, and they're kind of rough, and they may disrupt the service, and we need to put them in the back corner because we don't want to, you know, we might have some good folks come in, and they may be turned off by our church because this person right here is not a good Baptist church person. Amen. Right? Or here comes somebody with maybe some unruly kids, or here's someone who maybe doesn't smell the ground. I mean, you know, you name it, whatever it is. That's what he's, the illustration he's using. And so he gives us the indication of the problem. He's saying stop holding the faith of our Lord Jesus with respect to persons.
Amen.
May I say this? We don't have the right to share or not share the gospel with certain people. Right? And we've said this before. Sometimes we get caught up and we'll say, well, I don't mind going to the trailer park, hand out some tracts, but I don't want to go to that rich neighborhood because, you know, I don't feel comfortable around them. Or we'll say, we want to go in the middle-class neighborhood, but we don't want to go down there, you know, maybe to the rougher part because who knows what they're, you know, they may have some bad problems. They probably do have some bad problems. That's why they need the Lord. But you know what? The guy in the million-dollar house needs Jesus too. See, a lot of times, Brother Brad, what we do is we get it in reverse. We don't mind running buses, right? But let somebody pull up in a $100,000 car, and we're like, well, we just don't feel comfortable around them, right? What? They got a soul too. But we shouldn't put one on the front row and one on the back row, is what he's saying, right? See, the fact of the matter is, we're talking about the King of Kings.
Yes,
there's nobody in here worthy to be in his presence.
Right.
There's nobody in here worthy to serve him.
Amen.
Right? I mean, me, you, doesn't matter how much Bible you know or what kind of clothes you wear to the house of God, we're not worthy to be even in his presence.
Amen.
Yet he lets us in.
Amen.
And that's how we ought to be towards each other. Listen, they treated me bad. And I feel like, well, you know what? I want you to think about how bad you treated the Lord before you got saved. And let's be honest, sometimes even after we get saved, we don't treat him real good. Amen. So the indication of the problem, he's saying, listen, you're missing the whole concept of being saved and loving Jesus. Faith in the Lord is not compatible with partiality and discrimination. Just not. You can't choose one over somebody else. Right? We cannot combine snobbery with faith in Christ. God is neither partial or prejudiced in his dealing with the human race. If we believe in a whosoever, then that encompasses everybody, right? You can't pick and choose. And sometimes, you know, well, they need to. I remember this years ago. Had a man in our church. He was one of the original members. We were out knocking on some doors. And as this black family came to the door, and I invited them to church. And, man, I was like, look, we'd love to have you come to church. We got in the car. He said, preacher, I don't think they'd fit in our church. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, there's probably a church they'd feel more comfortable that I could recommend to them. By the way, he's no longer here.
Amen.
Right? He's not. Why? Because even saved folks, if we're not careful, we get a little prejudice. I ain't talking about just skin color. I'm talking about wrong side of the tracks. I'm talking about you're not wearing the right thing. Let me tell you something. Some of the godliest women I knew growing up didn't wear a skirt to church. Now you say, preacher, what are you saying? I think women ought to wear a skirt to church. But I know this. These little old women, there's three of them, but they love God. You hear them pray, you know they love God. But you got a lot of us independent Baptist brethren. If they walked in, I've even heard them say this, brother, I don't believe one more pants is even saved. Well, who died and made you the Holy Ghost? Some of the godliest people I know, you ready for this one? They don't sing old-fashioned conservative Christian music. I didn't say they was right. But I remember when our kids played upward basketball, we'd go to some of these liberal churches. And I'll tell you something, buddy. You get in there, they loved each other.
Yeah, they did.
Amen. They might have been off on some things. We'd say they was off. But you get around them, you knew, buddy. Well, they'd say stuff like, well, listen, you know, you'd overhear them talking, and I'd listen, buddy. I'm like, I want to hear this.
Right.
Oh, we had such a good time with y'all Saturday night, just hanging out and fellowshipping and having Bible study on Saturday night. They like being around each other. Brother Foy, we might be right on doctrine, a lot of things, but I tell you, some of the meanest people I've ever met in my life are independent, fundamental King James Baptist. Amen. I met some people that didn't have their Bible just exactly right, but they love God. You better be careful when you start standing up and deciding you're the Holy Ghost, get to determine who does what and who sits where and who's godly and who's not godly. Because that's what was going on in this church, and James said, you're wrong. See, the illustration of the problem he gives in verse 2 and 3, he said in verse 2, for if there come unto your assembly, into your local body, him that weareth the gay clothes, the nice clothes, and saying to him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand out there, right, or sit here under my footstool, yeah, right? So the illustration of the problem is, first of all, the prosperous man, he wanted everybody to know his wealth. Right. Now, I'll say this. I think you ought to wear the best you got when you come to the house of God. I just do. I know we're in this day where it's, you know, comfort and, you know, I want to say this too. You ready for this? I just don't agree with these women wearing these tight, stretchy britches out everywhere. Right. Now you say, oh, but preacher, they're comfortable. Well, you know what? My boxer shorts are comfortable, but I'm going to put some britches on when I go out. Amen. Right?
Amen.
Amen. Sure. I mean, just, you know. But then you come to the house of God and people are like, well, it's, you know, we're more casual. What, do we serve a casual God? I mean, I think I remember in the Old Testament when the high priest went to the Holy of Holies, he didn't wear the clothes he was out working in the field in. I will get killed, Brother Jimmy. Here's the mantle. You can have it. Right? But I'm also not going to look down my nose at somebody that walks in here that comes in on a Wednesday night. And we've had it, ladies that are nurses that work till 6:30 and they had their scrubs on, they come to the house of God and people are like, no, we ain't doing that. Amen. So he's saying, here's this one guy that walks in and he's got his church clothes on and he's all fancied up, and it doesn't say he was just dressed appropriately, said he was wearing gay apparel. In other words, he was kind of making a spectacle of himself, and maybe he didn't even mean to, maybe that was just him, but it was enough to where people noticed him over this other guy.
Right?
And they said, you sit here. The poor man, the beggar, he was not arrayed in the proper apparel to go to the church, and there was a difference in the way that church people treated him. Now, I'm very thankful. I've met many visitors who have visited our church that, oh, when I came in, people were so nice to me and so welcoming. That's the way we ought to be. But let me say this, once we get them in, you shouldn't treat them different.
Right?
I mean, I've been pretty good to Austin, trying to unload my daughter off on him. When he gets married, I'm still going to be good to him, right? I'm not going to treat him bad then, right? No. But he's saying, listen, you shouldn't pick one over the other. You don't do that with your children. You shouldn't, right? We shouldn't do it in the house of God. I've been doing this a while. I've been around a lot of folks. I've been around, you know, I remember years ago, you know, when the Christian concerts were coming through, and man, everybody wanted to go to them. And I mean, you'd have to, you know, do all the stage presence and all this stuff. And boy, I mean, people would shout and run the aisles, Brother Jimmy, and oh, they got a touch of God, or they knew how to perform. But I've also been around some godly old saints. They'd stand up behind the pulpit.
Yes, sir.
Maybe didn't have the prettiest voice. Maybe didn't have the... But they had a touch of God on them.
Yes, sir. Right.
So you better be real careful when you start determining who's better at what than who someone else.
Yes,
preferential treatment of one, punitive treatment of the other, let it not be said of us, is what he's saying.
That's right.
And then number two, the problem studied in verse 4. He said, "Be ye not, and are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts?" Here, isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing? We think we know everything about people. Brother RJ, I've heard, well, the reason they're doing this is this. Well, how do you know?
That's right.
I'll tell you how you know, because that's what you do.
That's right.
You're basing what you think someone else would do off what you do.
Right. You're right.
So really, you're telling on yourself.
Right?
It's like I heard a preacher say this. He said, "You ever hear a preacher preaching on money all the time? I mean, he's got a problem with money.
Right.
Hear him preaching on immorality all the time? He's got a problem with immorality.
That's good.
Right?
Yeah. Sure.
But you hear people the same way. It's always, well, Brother Shane did this because this. Brother Sean did this because this. I know how people are. You don't know yourself. That's what the Bible said. You don't even know your own heart.
Yeah, right?
Amen. Right? Amen. That's why we got to die daily.
That's
why we have to every day bow ourselves before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, "Search me, O Lord," because if not, you know what you'll do? That pride. Oh, stinking pride. It's a wonder, Brother Jimmy, it's a wonder God let any of us do anything for him. See, the problem study, the Christian perspective conveyed in verse 4 and 6 is this. He said in verse 4, "Are ye not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts?" And he said, "Hearken, my beloved brethren." So he loved me, saying, "Listen, church and the people I love, I'm trying to warn you. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat?" You know what he's saying? He's saying, "Listen, you're despising the poor, and the very people that you're trying to get on your side are the very people who've been oppressing you. Here's people that you could probably fellowship with and be a blessing and help, and they don't have anything, but you're casting them to the side. You're trying to go after the people that has put you in prison, persecuted you." Isn't that how we do? I remember growing up, right? I mean, you know, and I mentioned this. We went to my uncle's funeral, and there's a lot of guys I went to school with and played ball with. And, I mean, you know, we had a good childhood, but we were always considered less than because we grew up in Coolamy. That's the bad side of the county. That's where all the trash was. And so we were all trying to move up the ladder and be friends with the people up in the other end of the county and try to impress them. And the longer you got, Brother Adam, you know, elementary school, you didn't know any better. I mean, you know, we wore tough skins. Everybody wore tough skins and pro kids, right? T-shirts. Then you got up to middle school and you got around people that maybe their parents had a little more money and they had clothes and they had little animals on their shirt. You're like, "Well, I got to have me an animal shirt, right? I'd have me something's got some kind of critter on it." And the people that you grew up with, some of them you're like, "Well, I'm trying to get in with a better class of losers." Then you move on up a little more, right? You get to high school and then you're like, "Here's people got critters on their shirt and not driving fancier cars than you." It's like, "Oh, I got to try to impress them people." Yeah. And so you just start leaving people in the wake.
Yes, sir.
Then you realize at some point in time in your life, the people you grew up with, probably the one you could trust the most,
right.
And the people you're trying to get in with and impress are probably the ones that were making fun of you and all the rest of the stuff using you, right?
Right?
That's what he's saying. He said the very people you should be trying to help are the ones you're casting out, and the one you're trying to get with you on your side are the ones that's, listen, he said they're going to turn their back on you.
Right.
And that's how we are. Our flesh is always trying to get more, isn't it? I mean, it's always dissatisfied and discontent, and so Christian perspective conveyed on this thing is, he's saying the indictment is recorded. He said, "Aren't you setting yourself up to be the judge?" Now, we like that idea of judge not lest ye be judged. And I know the Bible does tell us we are to judge things, right? We judge what God, not that we judge it, but he's already judged it. But a lot of times we're judging someone's spirituality or their personality or whatever it is,
yes,
and we don't really know them. Just because a person appears better doesn't mean they are.
That's right.
Just because someone appears spiritual, listen, again, I've done this a while, and I've had people walk in the door, and before they got in good, man, they're telling me all the stuff they can do and all the stuff they used to do and all the stuff they want to do. And then I've had people that's like, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it.
You're right.
I'd rather have the one that says, whatever you need me to do, I'll do it, than here's my resume, here's the things I'm good at, here's the things I've done before, plug me in where I want to be, or I'm not going to do anything. And I found it doesn't take long when you get people like that. If you don't put them where they want to be, they ain't going to be here too long.
No.
Because they're always looking, saying, well, Brother Johnny's doing this, and I think I'm better qualified to do it than he is, so therefore you didn't put me there, and I'm not being used, my talent's not being used that the Lord gave me.
Go ahead now.
Partiality.
That's right?
Amen. Partiality. Amen. And that's the illustration. Here's one guy they thought would be a blessing because here he comes in the right apparel and the right look, the right part, right? But he's saying, listen, these are the very people that persecuted you, and here's the one you could minister to and actually be like Jesus is. By the way, he said he came to minister, not to be ministered to. And so he's saying, here's the people that really you would be most like Christ in helping, yet you're choosing the wrong one. It's a great mistake to judge people by these things, appearance, abilities. What you think of them. Here's what he said, though. Look, we go on. He said, you despise the poor. He said, do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat.
Right.
Verse 5, he said, hearken, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? Well, if you go back and study Hebrews chapter 11, most of those were not wealthy men. Matter of fact, one of them's a harlot. You look at the apostles, right? They were poor.
Right,
I mean, really, if you look at Jesus, he said he didn't even have a place to lay his head down.
Right.
Then he had these 12 guys following him. And there, remember when he sent them out, he's like, now y'all go out two by two. Don't take anything with you.
Right.
Now, you know how we'd be. We'd have about 4 backpacks on, right?
Right?
Lord, I don't know if I got enough stuff in this thing, right? So anyway, do they make a Yeti pull behind I can pack some stuff in? Because he said, don't take anything with you.
That's good.
They were poor.
Yep.
The prophets.
Yes,
poor. So God can use whoever he wants to do whatever he wants to. And by the way, he doesn't need our permission to do it. So he's saying you need to be careful, church, in how you treat every single person because you don't really know how God wants to use them and what he wants to use them for. And here, notice what he said. The indictment, all the apostles, God often takes the least and does the most.
That's right.
He took Moses. Remember Moses? Moses had a speech impediment, stuttered.
Right.
He said, God, I can't, you want me to go talk? I can't talk. So I'm fine, I'll give you a mouthpiece. And then he gave him a mouthpiece, and Moses never shut up.
That's good.
I can see some of the conversations in the chariot ride home, him and Aaron. He's like, look, I thought I was supposed to do the talking. So you just sit over there, I'm fine. Good, right?
Good.
I'm good.
Amen.
You look at David. Here's David, the shepherd boy. God had already anointed him king,
yes, sir.
Yet he's in the field tending to his daddy's flock.
Yes,
and then, notice this, by the way, when his dad told him, he said, look, I want you to go and I want you to take your brothers who are fighting in this battle.
Right.
I want you to go take them some food.
Right.
He didn't say, well, daddy, no, I'm you don't remember me. The prophet said I was the next one in line. Now, I'm not going out there and serving them food. They ought to be serving me food. It's not what he said. He did what his daddy told him. Your life's a whole lot simpler if you just do what God tells you to do. And so Elisha followed Elijah around. Basically, he was his servant. Then when he died, God used Elisha in a mightier way. You don't know what God wants to do. But when you start picking the winners and when you start picking the winners and the losers, what you're doing is you're fiddling with stuff you ought not be fiddling with.
That's right,
that's what he's saying. You can't choose them and not choose them.
Right.
Now notice this. Almost done. Hang with me. We're probably gonna have a good prayer time tonight, aren't we? So he goes on and he says in verse 6, but ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat. Verse 7, do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called. He said snobbery seems to have hit a high at the Jerusalem church. He's dealing with it, said there's no room for it here.
Right.
And then letter B, Christian perspective confirmed in verse 6 and 7.
Right.
Verse 6, he said you despise the poor. You're bullying them. It's amazing to me we live in a day where there's all this bullying going on. And the interesting thing to me is the cyber bully. I'm a cyber bully. You know why people are cyber bullies? Because you can't get punched in the face through a computer screen.
Right?
Remember when you was growing up, you had that one guy as a bully right up till that time he bullied the wrong person
right.
And he got punched in the jaw
right.
And all of a sudden he stopped.
Yep.
Well, James saying, listen, you're putting these people down and you're elevating these people. And what you're doing is blaspheming God.
Amen.
God help us.
Yes, sir.
Yes. So, we got to be careful with this thing of partiality because
right.
We think we're
right.
Just in doing it.
Good.
God's saying not only are you sin against that person, you're committing sin against me. Because
right.
You're the one picking the winners and the losers.
Yes,
again, it's easy. When we look at things, go, well, somebody came in here, we wouldn't, I mean, preacher, let's be honest, we got a bus ministry and we got a Spanish ministry and, you know, we have people come in here and we don't treat them any different when they come in here. Sometimes.
Sure.
Sometimes we do.
You're right. Yes, sir. Help us, Lord.
The Bible's saying you should never.
That's
right. Amen.
Right?
Right?
You should never. Because if God, because here's the thing, Brother Foy, some people say this now. They think God's that way. They're called Calvinist.
That's good.
They think, well, God picks a few of you, takes you to heaven, but then the rest of you, he's going to let you go to hell. Now, we looked at it and say, well, no, we believe in the free will of man, that God says whosoever will. Anybody can be saved. That's what I believe.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Well, if he's not going to be partial,
come on.
Do you know he died for people he knew was going to curse him?
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Sir.
Hallelujah.
For God so loved
the world.
Yeah, not yes. Just people that accept him
Amen.
As his Savior.
Right, that's right.
The world.
Yes, he did.
And here's what I'm saying. If we want to be like him, then we got to be like him. You can't be a Christian and make up your own rules to the game. Is that right? That's what we've been good. We're going to make up our own rules. Here's what I think a Christian should be. Well, let me say this. God didn't ask you. He didn't call me up and say, hey, now, I know you've been pastoring a while now and you've been studying that book for a while. Can I get your opinion on what you think a Christian ought to be? He just wrote it down, said, here's what it is.
Yes, sir. Right.
If you want to be a little Christ,
amen,
here's how you do it.
Amen.
Now it's up to you and me to live it. God's saying, don't choose this one over this one.
Amen.
Don't choose this one over this one.
That's right.
Because of what you see and what you don't see or what you think. Don't you discern their thoughts.
Right.
Let God be the one,
yes, he will,
to determine,
yes, he will,
what he uses people,
amen,
for, how he deals with them.
Amen.
Hey, there's a lot of people probably still this way. God called me to preach. I'm sure they were like, Lord, that probably was not the best decision you've ever made. Do you know him?
Yeah.
Right? I think I might have even said that. Lord, I don't think you exactly got this one right. I think you probably could have. I could do something different.
Amen. Glory to God. Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Just let God be God.
Amen. Amen.
Let him do the picking. Let's come to the altar and pray tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.